Exodus chapter 16, verse number 3, the word of the Lord says, "And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. People shall go out and gather a certain rate every day that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel at even, Then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out of this land, from this land of Egypt. And in the morning ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that you murmur against us?" I want to preach, if the Lord will help me for a few moments this morning, on I declare the manna. I declare the manna. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the word of the Lord. All of you who attend church here regularly, we have a few visiting with us, and we want to thank you for being here. Our regular attenders know we're in the midst of a sermon series looking at these times where that the Lord allowed his people to make a declaration of some kind. We began looking at the beloved Apostle John, beginning in his epistle, declaring unto us in verse 5, he says, "Then this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you." The old timers, when something would be surprising, exciting, or remarkable, would pause and say, "Well, I declare." Matter of fact, they'd say it in that very best Appalachian accent. "Well, I declare," and they never really would declare anything. They would just stop right there, and that would express their surprise, their being awestruck, their being confounded. For most, it was just a manner of speech, but for the apostle, it was a serious saying. John was able to declare the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The next week, we looked at a woman at the well who said, "I declare a meeting. Come see a man who has changed my life." Amen. The following week, we saw a man born blind who was asked how he received his sight. And they said, "Don't you know this man that opened your eyes is a sinner?" And he said, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, whereas I once was blind, now I see." That man declared a miracle. We saw, my friend, how that there was a man named Jacob in the next week who fought with God, and God wrestled with him. And Jacob declared a match. He faced God, wrestled with him, and lived to tell about it. In addition, the next week we saw blind Bartimaeus and how he declared mercy. "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." The apostle Paul at Mars Hill was the next message beside the altar to the unknown God. And they said, "We don't know who he is." And Paul said, "I know, and I declare him unto you. He's the Messiah. His name is Jesus, and I know him." Last week we talked about Joshua outside of Jericho when he saw the captain of the Lord's host, and we preached, "I declare a mighty man," and he is a mighty man. I'm following the captain. Hey. Brother Daniel took last week's sermon so seriously, and it took him back to his military days, that he went and got a military haircut this week just to prove that he's a following the captain in the Lord's army. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Praise God. And Lord, help us to follow the man with a sword in his hand. The one with a sword's got the plan. This is the program. This is what we're following. And his way's right, and he's powerful. And we can see walls brought down, and God will give us the victory. Amen. I declare a mighty man. We're not fighting a losing battle. We're not a feeble, weak-kneed, jelly-legged group of defeated people, but we are marching in victory, thank God. I declare a mighty man, and I'm glad I'm following him. Now, at the beginning of last week's message, the first verse of the text last week said, "And when the manna had ceased," well, we're rolling back now 40 years to a time frame before that, when the manna began. And last week we saw when it quit, but this week we're going to see when it started. And this week we roll back to a time some 40 years earlier when it's given, and the people looked at this heavenly bread and they didn't know what to say about it, and they saw it and they said, it is manna. That word manna means, what is it? They looked at it and, my friend, they said, what is it? I suppose you could say that manna was the Hebrew word for our Appalachian expression. Well, I declare. They took that bread up that came from heaven and looked at it and said, well, I declare. I don't know what to think about it. What is this thing? I'm shocked. I'm in awe. I declare. They called it manna. I don't know what it is. I don't know what to think about it. I don't know what to say about it. It's a whatchamacallit. What is that? I don't know. It's a whatchamacallit. It's a thingamabob. It's a flibbertigibbet. They don't know what to call it. As a matter of fact, the very thing they call it says, what is it? Well, I declare, it's manna is what it is. And the Lord gave them bread from heaven. And when they experienced the bread for themselves, they could declare it's a blessing and it's a benefit. Now, I would say this morning, as I have with all of these declarations, that I could not tell you I was there when they happened. I could not make the same declaration they made in the way that they made it, but that I have had a first-hand personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, I can declare the manna. I know what bread from heaven is, and I can declare that manna. Jesus said in John 6:51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. I have never seen a piece of manna. I have never seen the way that they would grind it and make it into bread. I've never tasted that coriander seed, which is what the Bible said it was like, or a wafer with honey. I've never tasted that. I guess the closest I've gotten is a golden grail. I don't know exactly what manna tastes like, but I have tasted the bread from heaven. I do know, my friend, that I can taste and see that the Lord is good. I can declare that bread of life, that He is mine, that He feeds my hungry soul. Sister Tanya, you know what I was thinking about this week as I was preparing this message? You'll remember this from when we were just small, when I was small and you were older than me. You'll remember this. I was just a kid. She was already grown. She's my older sister. And we would sing back then, are you hungry for the Lord? Then just read His precious word. There is milk and honey too, flowing from His side to you. Heavenly honey flowing from the throne. We're at the table, the master's own. And then I'd chime in when I was just a kid. My voice hadn't changed. I'm singing high tenor. We will be filled and satisfied with heavenly honey only God supplies. I can testify I have eaten of the bread of life. I can testify it satisfies my hungry soul. I can declare this morning He fills my every longing. I searched for Him and knew not what I searched for. Woo! I longed for Him and knew not what I longed for. But then I met Jesus and knew that I would search no more. He filled a longing down in my heart. Praise God. Do you know what it is for Him to satisfy your taste, to satisfy your mouth with good things, to feel the hunger of your soul? Do you know what it is to finally understand what that God-shaped hole in your life was for? And the Lord filled that up and gave you meaning and purpose and let you know why you're on planet Earth to begin with, and gave you assurance that when you left this old world, you were headed to a home so much better. I'm telling you, friend, the glory of God floods my soul this morning, letting me know that I am His and that He is mine, and I have access to the bread of heaven and, my friend, to the oven of glory where there is fresh bread for my soul. And I feast upon Him. I dine upon Him. I'm dining on heavenly manna only God supplies, and He fills my hungry soul. I declare the manna this morning. I declare the manna. Now, in this portion of scripture we have read unto you, there's really three things that you will note here, and then I'm going to give you a few things about them three things. And so this morning, but there's really three things in the verses. First of all, in verse number 3, there is the murmuring that takes place. They said, would to God would have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. They start looking at the flesh pots. They said, back then they were slaves. They forgot about that. Back then they were beaten and made to stomp in the mud pits, in the brick pits, and even made bricks without straw. Back then they were at the threat of death every moment. But they forgot about all of that. And they said, back then we sat by the flesh pots. We ate until we were full. And now the Lord's brought us out here, and you, Moses, have brought us out here in the wilderness so we can starve to death and die. Oh, they complained. They murmured. They were not grateful, nor were they trusting. I don't know if you heard what I just said. They were not grateful, nor were they trusting. You know what the problem the children of Israel the whole time they were in the wilderness was? They were not grateful, nor were they trusting. You know what your problem, what my problem as a saved people in this whole wilderness world is? When we're not nigh to God like we ought to be, we're not grateful, nor are we trusting. My friend, we don't appreciate what God has done as we should, and we don't recognize Him to take care of us the rest of the way. That through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace had brought me safe this far, and grace that'll bring me home. Now, I'm trying to finish preaching this morning, but I'm feeling preaching down in my soul. And I'd ask you to help me and pray for me. We're not grateful, nor are we trusting. There is the murmuring that takes place. And then there is the manna that is given in verse number 4. Their complaint was of a natural need. But the Bible said, the Lord said unto Moses in verse number 5, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. If you don't have it already, I want you to underline that in your Bible, bold face it, highlight it, and italicize it. If you can do that, amen. And my friend, listen, I will rain bread. I will rain bread from heaven for you. I'm going to tell you, if he'd rain bread from heaven for them, he'll rain bread from heaven for you and for me. And they were not grateful, nor were they trusting. Their complaint was of a natural need, but God gave them a supernatural answer. They had a hunger for bread, and God gave them bread from heaven. There was a spiritual solution, a spiritual answer, my friend, that brought natural help. They sought a worldly need, but God showed them a heavenly solution, and they did not understand it or recognize it. You may think this morning you need money, jobs, things, cars, stocks, bonds, but your need is spiritual. Your need is heavenly. Your need is the need of the soul, and if you seek that need first, and then your natural needs will be met. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. Hey, you may think your need is the hunger of the natural man, but I'm telling you, God will rain bread from heaven for you. Bread from heaven, something you couldn't buy if you had $1 million. Bread from heaven, something that will not come in the trunk of a new automobile. The bread from heaven, my friend, is not attached to a suit made by our money, or my friend, with alligator shoes. Hey, friend, the bread from heaven is something that cannot be bought and sold on the Dow Jones Industrial Average or the New York Stock Exchange. The bread from heaven is heaven's bread, and your need is spiritual. But if you'll seek that which is spiritual, and God's heavenly supplies will meet your natural desires, and God will take care of you in this wilderness world if you'll prioritize the heavenly things, and then He'll meet the need of the earthly man. Anybody in the world know what I'm talking about this morning? Anybody know what I mean when you think you needed money to pay the bills and the Lord comes by and you realize what you needed was a fresh touch from heaven? You think what you need is a health in your body and the Lord comes by and speaks to your soul and you're still sick, but you feel better about it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, do you know what? I know what it is for the Lord to come by when I've been sick and though my sickness hadn't gone away, I just somehow or another feel all better about it because I know it's in His hands. Do you think what you need is whatever problems going on with your family to be fixed. And brother, family problems are the worst kind of problems. Wear on you, worry you. But then the Holy Spirit come by and fellowship with your heart. And Him let you know, I'm here. Everything's okay. I'm taking care of it all. And somehow or another you realize there's heavenly bread for your earthly hunger. He fills your mouth with good things and satisfies your soul with the Savior. Amen. Praise God. There's murmuring that there's manna to be found. Then the third thing, there is the message, and this is really what I'm preaching. I said all of that to quote a great theologian. I said all of that to say this, amen. And there is the message we find in this passage of Scripture. The message can be summarized in one sentence, and I'm going to elaborate on that sentence, expound upon it. But if you'll write this down, it may help you. The message can be summarized in one sentence. Brother Tom's got a handful. He can't write it down, but Sister Liv is writing for you. The message can be summarized in this sentence. Trust God every day and keep looking up. Trust God every day and keep looking up. Trust God every day and keep looking up. Oh, my friend, this is the message. Don't dwell in the wilderness worrying over how you're going to make it. Look to God. Look to heaven. Look to Christ. Trust Him every day while you're trapped into the demands of the moment. Christ is Lord over time and eternity. While the hunger of the day grips your life, the God we serve has unlimited resources. When you worry over tomorrow, remember the one who holds tomorrow, and remember that He holds your hand. And trust God every day and keep looking up. Amen. Hallelujah. And so now let's talk about two or three things, and I'm finished preaching this morning. I'm beginning to close while I'm getting started. Amen. And I'm not telling you I'm closing, just beginning to close. And so this morning it was, the message in this thing was for them a spiritual lesson. The people thought they were hungry. We don't need a sermon, Moses. We need something to eat. Oh, how many times have y'all thought that? About lunchtime on Sunday morning. Most of you came to sunrise service. If you're already hungry again, you didn't eat enough this morning. There was plenty of leftovers. Amen. But how many times have you sat on Sunday morning and think He ain't never going to get done? Don't look at me like that, John Daniel. You know you do that. And I'm hungry. We don't need another sermon. We need something to eat. But I'm telling you, friend, what you really need is in the Lord. It's a spiritual lesson. And my friend, the people thought they were hungry, but our natural needs point us to a heavenly solution. We wonder why we can't always enjoy abundance, why we must battle each day, why we must fight through discouragement and disease and death, why must we experience pain, suffering, hunger, anxiety, and financial strain. And these things remind us that we are in a fallen body on a fallen planet, have a fallen intellect. They teach us to put our attention on something bigger than ourselves and something bigger than the moment, something bigger than this wilderness world. And trust heaven for all your needs, and natural and spiritual. Trust God every day and keep looking up. Amen. It's a spiritual lesson. And then this morning, it is the message of this thing is a step-by-step lesson. Verses 4 and 5 said they were to go out. And He said, when you go out, said, take in at a certain rate every day that I may prove them whether they walk in my law or no. They were not to get too much. They had to gather manna every day. If they got enough one day for 2 days, the second day manna would spoil. It would make them sick. It would ruin. God made sure that nobody could hoard up for the future. Every night they must pillow their heads and learn the same God who met their need today will do it again on tomorrow. Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Oh, friend, hey, I want to pray that every day. Yes. You know what my problem most of the time is? Tomorrow gives me fits. Now, some of y'all just throw caution to the wind
And you live like tomorrow ain't never coming. And sometimes I kind of get jealous of you because you're not concerned about tomorrow. And sometimes I don't get a bit jealous of you because when tomorrow comes and everything falls apart, you come to me and want me to fix it. And then I get mad at you. Amen. And I'm sitting around all the time worrying about tomorrow, frustrated over tomorrow. And you know, me and you both are wrong. What all of us are supposed to be doing is right now, today, bowing our heads and saying, Lord, I want to thank you for today. Give me today what I need today. And Lord, when tomorrow gets here, I'm going to trust you for tomorrow too. Give us this day our daily bread. Oh God, help us. It's a step-by-step lesson. They couldn't fill the cupboard with a week full of supplies. Every day they had to trust God to meet the needs of that day. And so do we this morning, friend. You young people, listen to me just a minute now. When you're young, starting out in life, trying to do the right things and wonder if you can make it, make God the center of your life. Work hard, be responsible, but trust God for the rest. And then when you get older and responsibilities grow, and my friend, get to be many and children and family get older, and your life is so full of people that you must care for, I trust him then, and he'll still be God. When your head is full of gray hairs and your memory begins to slip and your health begins to fail, you can still trust him then. He's still God. Every step along the way, trust the Lord. When the days are so hard, you don't think you can make it, and you try to live month by month or week by week or day by day, but step by step, believe and trust in a living God, and he'll not let you down.
Amen.
Be a witness of this. I want some of you to think about this. If the dynamic that happens with us happened in the camp of the Israelites, and I'm sure that it did, this is how it would have happened. Somebody like me would have been out there gathering up a bushel basket full of bread, putting it up for tomorrow. No matter what Moses said, I'm just going to be cautious. I can always throw it out. I'm going to be cautious. And now I've learned that it gets worms and it stinks the next day, and I know I can't do that. But now I've got to trust the Lord. I can see me, especially when I'm about 30 years old, with little bitties at home, two or three kids. I've been 33 by the time I had three kids. And see me with the children at the house and put them in the bed, and we've said our prayers. My wife's waiting on me to come to bed, but before I do, I'm worried. And I slip out where nobody sees me because I've told my children, we're trusting the Lord. I've told my wife, we're trusting the Lord. I've told the church, you trust the Lord. And then I walk out in the starlight by myself and look up in the sky and say, oh God, can I trust you? Somebody's standing outside their tent, looking up in the sky with tears in their eyes, hands toward heaven, thinking they're all alone. Hallelujah. And wondering, can I trust the Lord? Thank God. Maybe Moses, Aaron, some other senior saint comes walking along to that dear man and says, sir, why are you standing out here in the moonlight? Why are you out here looking up in the stars? I'm just kind of worried about things, sir. I need to go to bed. I know that. And the senior saint says to him, don't you think that the God that provided yesterday will provide again on tomorrow? Why don't you go in there and lay down and give your babies a hug and a kiss and let your wife know you've already heard from heaven and that God is more than enough for your family, and sleep well on your pillow tonight and wake up in the morning knowing that there is a God and he's not you, and he'll take care of you. And you don't have to do it all by yourself. Well, bless the name of the Lord. And I'm telling you, listen, friend, I want this morning for some of you younger folks, I want to be that person. And listen, I ain't gone all the way down the road yet, but I've been trying to live for God for more than three decades. I've got a grandbaby now. Some time has passed, and God has never failed me, not even one single time. Oh, thank God. Hear me. Go on in at night. Lay down on the bed. Trust the Lord. He'll not fail you, neither will it be discouraged. You can believe in the God. I will rain bread from heaven for you. Woo! Hallelujah. Eventually the day would come where they'd show up at the tent of Moses, but he wouldn't be there. He died and the Lord buried him. Some of them said, let's look for his grave and see if maybe there we can pray better than what we can here. But they couldn't even find his grave because the Lord buried him and nobody even knew where his body was. The Lord did that so they wouldn't do these things. So they couldn't pray to his dead carcass in a grave somewhere. He wasn't God. Somewhere or another, somebody said, who are we going to turn to? We used to ask Moses and he'd talk to the Lord. We used to ask Aaron and he'd talk to the Lord. We used to ask Daddy and Mama and Grandpa and Grandma, and they would talk to the Lord. Now what are we going to do? I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to talk to the Lord. Are you listening to me? We're going to talk to the Lord. Moses dies. Aaron dies. They go away of all the earth. But we serve a living Savior. Hallelujah. We serve a God that will rain bread from heaven for you. Woo! I used to call Brother Sammy, but he's in heaven. I used to call Brother Dixon, but he's in heaven. Amen. I used to call Brother Willis and Sister Bonnell, but they're in heaven. I used to call my grandpa and my grandma, but they're all in heaven. You know what I can still do? I can call on the Lord, and he's in heaven. Amen. And he listens to me when I pray, and he hears and answers my prayer. Praise God. Lay your head down on a pillow at night, step by step, day by day, moment by moment, and believe God to do what God does. It's a step by step lesson. It's a selling out lesson. Then after they gather every day, yea, so much, on the sixth day, every other day you get more than one day's worth and it stinks, gets worms, and it'd make you sick. But on the sixth day, you had to gather twice as much. Keep half of it and depend on God, not only the same God that sent bread from heaven every day, but you had to depend on him now to sustain the same bread. Every other day besides this, leftovers made them sick. But God made it so they had to trust him to send bread 6 days and sustain the seventh day. You'll never regret honoring God's day. Some mother worried over children but would be sick at the 8 7-day bread. What about the worms? She thought, well, that's a big deal. Mamas don't like worms. They get upset about worms. Oh my gosh, it could be worms. What in the world would we do with worms? That's a big deal, see? And mamas worry about that. But this day, God said it won't get worms. Can it be done? Should we come up with another plan? Honey, can God's way really be the best way? Maybe I should seek some more realistic or safe solution. But God's promise to sustain the bread held true. I set out to God's plan today. Trust his will and his word, and he will not fail you. Honor him by giving him the Lord's day. Honor him by giving him your tithe and offering. Honor him by giving him obedience and walking with integrity. His way is right. The word of the Lord is right. And all his works are done in truth, said Psalm 33 and 4. And don't sell out your family and my friend of the world, but sell out to God and he'll never fail you. It's a selling out lesson. And I am not just beginning to close, I am closing with this. It's the Savior's lesson. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am that bread which comes down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I never saw the bread fall out of the sky, but I can declare heavenly manna. I know the bread of life that feeds my hungry soul. Hallelujah. It's Jesus himself who is the bread of life. There's an hour and a half worth of preaching right here, and I will not do it. But this bread represents Jesus in a host of ways. Host of ways. It's small, according to verse number 14. Tells us about Christ's humility. Wasn't born in a palace, but in a manger. It was round. This speaks of Christ's eternal nature with a circle. There's no beginning, no ending. So it also is with our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It was white. This tells us of his holiness, his purity, how he lived without sin, died without sin, rose again without sin, and is absolutely empowered to overcome sin and death. His character is impeccable. It came at night in verses 13 and 14. Jesus came to a world lost in spiritual darkness and gave us light. It's misunderstood by those that found it. They looked at it and didn't know what to say about it, so they called it manna. Well, I declare, it's manna. I don't know what it is. My friend, those heard Jesus, and he came to his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. It was sufficient to meet every man's need. Verse 17, 18 said, some gathered much, some gathered little, but none had need of anything. Oh, I'm telling you, Jesus is enough. Jesus is just right. He's just what you need today. It was sweet to the taste. According to verse 31, those who partook of the manna found it sweet and satisfying. He's not just sustaining and satisfying. He's sweet, amen. And he's to be kept and passed on to others. Verse 32, the Bible says, they took the manna and they gathered up an omer of it and they put it in a pot. And they put that pot in the testimony of the covenant, for that future generations may know that I rained bread down to heaven for you. He said, I want you to do something with this bread. Don't just eat it, but I want you to share it with somebody else. And mama, when your baby's sitting in your lap and ask you, how did y'all make it all the way from Egypt to this promised land? You tell them, there's a God that rained bread out of heaven on us. Hallelujah. Oh, my. I will declare how we made it. We made it by the grace of God. We made it sustained by the bread of God. How are you going to make it, sweetheart, from here all the way to glory? The same way that I've made it thus far. You'll make it by the bread from heaven. My friend, give some to them. I'm finished preaching. Come on with a song. I'm cutting her off. I'm not done cutting her off. Little Ella was at our house on Friday night. Sonia went to the grocery store. Ella's 4 months old, nearly five, I think. I don't know. She was born looking like she was 5 months old. She weighed nearly 10 pounds. She looks like a toddler. She just can't walk yet. She's nearly big as Tommy. Y'all saw her this morning. Big girl. Came into this world, big girl. Sonia went to the grocery store and found some of these little bread pieces of some kind. I don't know what to call them, some sort of dried bread stuff. Looked like croutons, only smaller. A little tender, more tender, I think. And Ella loves them. Now, most babies her age is just drinking milk and plenty of it. She's doing that too. She'll eat anything she can get her hands on. Sonia fed her pizza Friday night, too. Yeah. She said, you reckon the sauce will give her any problems? I said, I don't know. We're grandparents. Feed her and Gracie can find out. Amen. Ain't that right? I've been waiting a long time to get to do that. Amen. Some of y'all get upset at me maybe some of these days. You hadn't told me yet, but you go home thinking, I wish he'd quit showing me pictures of his grandkid. I've been looking at pictures of your grandkids for 30 years. Somebody look at mine now. Sonia had them little pieces of bread and she'd feed them to Ella. She'd poke her tongue out and put it in, poke her tongue out and put it in. She'd gum around on it. She'd reach up there and grab it with her hand. Grandma would say, is that good, baby? All she knows how to say is ooh and ugh. She was oohing and ooing and reaching and grabbing and pulling. Grandma would get another piece of bread and put it in her mouth. And I knew what I was supposed to preach this morning. Woo! And I prayed, Lord, help us to take some manna and that little girl and put it in her mouth and let her know about some bread from heaven to taste and to see that the Lord is good. I'm not much of a preacher this morning, but I hope I've been to Heaven's Bakery for just a little bit. And if nothing else this morning, Brother Daniel, I want to try to get a serving tray, and I want to get around to where your family and mine is, and to my friend deliver for just a little while some bread from heaven that you can tell your boys and girls to put in their mouth and taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm telling you, it's the most important thing in your life. You receive Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody stand. Some of you need to pray this morning. Some of you have got needs in your life. Save people with needs that need to be in this altar. Some of you never been born again. You need to come pray and ask the bread of heaven to fill your hungry soul. Wherever you stand with God, these altars are open for what you need. Sing for us when you're ready, dear neighbor.
David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah.
Would you be obedient Paul to the Lord?
Preached all is lost.
Would you let
save
God
knowing
speak
Christ
to your heart?
Little John said he
if
is
nothing
precious.
Nothing else this morning. Let
while
me please testify
on his
to you.
So for
oh,
a moment,
young couple, young
may
person,
I humbly
testify to you. He's enough for
and
your
did
needs.
I mention that I love him, how I worship
what you
and
need
adore
is Jesus.
Him. When I could
what
see
you
the
need
way
is the Lord.
He makes a way. And did I mention that he's been faithful
the
to every
God
promise he's ever made me? I love him. That's all I want to say. How many
and if you live for him for 50 years,
can be preached
he'll still
about
be God,
this Jesus? How
and
many
he'll still
songs
be enough?
Can be sung
Hallelujah.
About God's Son?
Hallelujah.
And there are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all the Savior has done.
Did I mention that I love him?
And did I mention that I love him?
How
I worship and adore him. When I could see no way,
thank God.
He makes a way.
We bless your name. We love you, Lord.
Did I
we
mention that he's been
we
faithful
praise
to
him for
every promise he's ever made me? I love him. That's all I want to say.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him. When I could see no way, he makes a way. And did I mention that he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him. That's all I want to say.
After 40 years in the wilderness, even the day the manna ceased, if you'd ask the children of Israel, what is manna and how did it get here? They'd had to say, I can't explain it all. I really don't know all the answers. What I do know is when I was hungry, he fed me. When I needed for my family, he met the need. He supplied it every single day. He didn't leave me in the wilderness to die. He didn't leave me the way that he found me. Been saved now for 33 years. I can't explain everything. But buddy, I've seen enough of the Lord to know he'll be enough for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I got some things I would like to share with you and I'd like to tell you about, but I'm like my great-grandma this morning. All I know how to really tell you is the Lord knows my heart. And some of it maybe I can tell you about in days ahead. But I'm so thankful for Easter Sunday. Thank you so much for being in the house of God. Thank you for the kitchen patrol and the preaching, the singing, these musicians for just jumping in somewhere and doing whatever we ask them to do. It's all a blessing, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Well, John Michael's done a little bit of everything today. Everything I've just asked him to do, some of it I didn't ask him to do. He just jumped in there and did it. From the kitchen patrol all the way to the invitational hymn. What about that? The devil said all the young'uns is gone. Boy, he's a dirty liar, isn't he?